Hello and welcome. This is Connie Reagan Green from Huge Profits Tiny List with another call in the podcast series. But this isn't just any call. This is a call with Kelly McCauzie, who is the reason I've been doing the podcast to begin with. Welcome, Kelly.
Oh, Connie, I'm so happy to be here again.
Well, the last time that we talked on a call is when I said that I would do 50 podcasts during 2012, and you are number 50.
Woohoo!
It's been so good for my business. It's really, it's changed everything. I mean, it's been, you know, now it's, we're about the 11-month point, because this podcast we're doing today will come out in a couple of weeks. But during this 11 months, I've seen my business differently. I've thought of everything differently. I've connected with people that I never would have connected with in this way, and everything is very, very different. So I just want to, you know, officially and publicly thank you for being the one that got me going in the direction I needed to go with these podcasts. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And Connie, I've listened. I have three podcasts in my pipeline to listen to. So I've listened to all but three of your episodes. You've gone to the gym with me a lot. You've driven to Gaylord with me. You accompany me and your friends. I am blown away by the people that you know. The variety of marketers that you've had on your podcast have been just so enjoyable.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me that you're listening. But let's really get into this on a serious level, because I want my people that are listening to this to know about you, to know what you're doing, so that they can see how they could incorporate this into their business. Because now you've been doing the podcast for over 8 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. And tell me a little bit about how your podcasts have been going this year, because I've listened to some of them. I haven't listened to all of them, but yours are really very different than mine are, meaning that they're, what's right for one person is, you know, not right for another person necessarily. So how is your format? Describe that to people.
My format is quite varied, because I am sometimes interviewing a guest, and sometimes it's just me. And the very first time that I did an episode without a guest, I was terrified that my listeners were going to feel ripped off. And instead, I had a huge reaction, a positive reaction. They said, man, you know, as great as it is to listen in to you talking with someone, it's kind of cool when I feel like you're just talking to me. And so I've done more of that this year. I've felt really comfortable to just kind of float back and forth, depending on what my primary purpose is. You know, if there isn't anybody on my schedule to be a guest, I can sit down and do the show on my own and just talk to my listeners, and it goes really well.
Yeah, because I guess I feel like when I'm listening to just you, I think of it like a fireside chat.
Mm-hmm.
And of my calls this year, I only did one alone, and I'll do another one. I did one at the July 4th week, which is our Independence Day here in the United States for my international listeners. And I thought it was good halfway for me to just talk. And then I'll do it again at the end of the year to mark the one full year of, you know, doing the podcast. But when you do it alone, are you making an outline? Do you have certain, you know, bullet points, things that you want to cover? How do you do it?
I sometimes will have a bullet list. I typically fly by the seat of my pants and let the topic take me where it wants to go. I find that if I just look away from all my notes, sometimes I have a little mirror on my desk for when I'm doing audios to remind me to keep a smile on my face, because people hear it.
Oh, I love that. That's a great tip.
Yeah. People can tell when you're not in a good mood in the audio. They can tell if you're tired. They can tell if you're distracted. If you're, you know, if you're checking your Facebook while you're recording, they know. So the mirror keeps me accountable. But I'll just run with it. I'll just let my thoughts take me where they want to go. Sometimes that backfires and I have to actually stop and start over because I'll be like jabbering on for 5 minutes on something and then be like, what is my point? And I'll just hit stop, delete, and start over. But sometimes magic happens. You know, the topic will just take off and be really powerful because I just let my own enthusiasm take over. And listeners really enjoy that.
Okay, because, you know, I think of it in one way as a way to really let people inside of who we are, because when I'm having conversations with the people that I know to various degrees that I believe mm-hmm. will really enrich, you know, my listeners' businesses and lives and everything, I feel like they're hearing a part of me that they wouldn't hear on any other type of call that I would do. And I think that that can be valuable in many ways.
Yeah. I really like doing the solo calls. I think that it has added an element of intimacy. Podcasting, even when you're doing interviews, is already quite intimate compared to text. But when it's just you and them, they feel like they're really deepening their relationship with you. And when they're responsive, when they leave comments and Facebook posts and send you emails, you know it's working.
Yes. Now, what is your feeling about selling, about recommending on the calls? Because I do that as often as possible because I really honestly feel like it's a service. So like on this call, I'll be talking about your podcasting course because that seems to make complete sense that I would send people to connieloves.me/smartpodcasting because that's the course that will change their life and their business, I believe. What is your feeling about doing that?
I'm very comfortable with it. If we go way back in history, I was not. But my podcast used to have sponsors. I had a founding sponsor that stayed with me for over 6 years. I had various other advertisers. And so I would just let commercials do the promotion. But as my funnel matured and fleshed out, I started to reduce my advertisers. And then I just finally just let my founding sponsor go in a pleasant, friendly way and just took to promoting my own things. In a natural way. I don't think anyone is going to listen to my podcast and say, oh, that Kelly, all she ever does is want me to spend money. but if it's natural and relevant and helpful and useful, it's criminal not to tell them, whether it's my stuff or your stuff or someone else's stuff.
Right. I agree with that because just say that we went on, now we're going to talk for about a half hour, and just say that we went on and we talked about all the benefits of podcasting and, you know, how it's built a business for you and grown my business now just this last year. And, you know, other people, I have students now that are starting to do the podcasting. If we went on and then never mentioned that you actually teach a course from the perspective of someone who's done it longer than anyone else who's doing online marketing today, I don't believe there is one other person who's done it as long and as consistently as you have. If we didn't mention the course, people would be kind of left needing some information, and they would probably go to Google, and they would try to find out, and who knows what they might come upon that wouldn't serve them well.
Good point.
So that's how I think about it. All right, so when you are looking for a guest, because I know you have that in your signature line, how do you say it, that you're looking for smart solopreneurs?
Solopreneurs, yep.
Okay, now when you do that, you know, how is it that people come to you, or is it various ways? And can you say a little bit more about the idea of getting guests?
Sure. I do have that in my signature line in my emails. I have it in my profile on Twitter. And I actually have it built into some of my autoresponders and courses to make sure to mention that I'm always looking for solopreneurs to interview. So people contact me and say, you know, I'd love to be interviewed. And it's not a perfect science. I actually had a situation this week I've got to share because there is a gal who contacted me via Twitter and volunteered to be a guest, and I said, I took a quick peek at her Twitter and her website, and I thought, oh, you know, this looks interesting. We had to reschedule a couple of times for issues, and we were finally supposed to be doing it this week. The moments before I pick up the phone to call her, I visit her website and see everything is different. She rebranded. She had very few examples of her work. She was a service provider. And in general, the whole thing, all while it was beautiful, it was really kind of terrible from a marketing standpoint. And I was really embarrassed, but I just said, I texted her and I said, geez, this kind of doesn't look ready. Are you? I had to tell her, sorry, but I'm not going to have you on the show. And I was very honest with her about why. That while it might be interesting to talk to her, I don't want my listeners to think that I'm holding her up as an example of a successful solopreneur because I think your website's kind of pitiful. And in kinder words than that. But she understood. She's like, I get it. I've gone through a rebrand. I get it. It's not very complete. So I didn't go through with it. And I think it's really important to be choosy about your guests. If you're holding someone up as an example that they could learn from, you really want people to be able to learn from them. And it's kind of a pet peeve for me that sometimes I will see people featuring others and they don't look ready. The website's not finished. There's not a lot to see. There's no evidence of true expertise anywhere to be found. Why would you want to introduce others to that?
Right, but I think, you know, probably you are so tactful with that. For me, I'm not sure how it, I mean, you're bringing up an excellent point, you know, so I think I need to look at my inner thoughts and actions and, you know, what would I do in that case if I realize someone wasn't a good fit? Would I be good at handling that? Because I think everything we do in our online business is really a reflection of who we've been all of our life. And I think for me, that's always been something that was difficult for me to kind of be able to be honest with someone and say, you know, something is or isn't a good fit in a way that leaves both people feeling still positive, you know, doesn't crush anybody's dreams or mm-hmm. hopes or anything like that, but still keeps you true to what you're working to accomplish in the business. I think it's a great, great point you're making.
You had Bob Berg on your show, and man, that episode was so fantastic. And he's a big guy, you know, he's a big, well-known guy. When you invited him to be your guest, I'm assuming you've met him in person, or
I have not met him in person, but one of my students who has gone on to be very successful, she has spent time with him in person at a couple of different events, and is kind enough to always, you know, share that she really got her start and worked with me for a few years, and that was the connection.
So when you invited him, if he'd gone to look at your podcast and seen that, say, the last five people you interviewed weren't that awesome, he would probably have not said yes. You know,
definitely.
People who are well-respected really like to be associated with other people who are well-respected. And
right.
So
yeah, definitely. Because also, I'm sorry, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I was going to say you have to take care of that, you know, manage that within your brand.
You do. And I think, you know, with him, I was just starting to reach out to authors in a way because I wanted to do that more. And he seemed like the perfect author to reach out to in the beginning because this connection had been made now about a year ago. So when I did reach out to him, though, and the way I reach out to everyone, I always say what my format is, that we do it at a time that works for both of us, that it's not live at the time. It's just the two of us talking, and then it will go no longer than 30 minutes. And I give them a link to ConnieReaganGreenPodcast.com so they can see my recent ones. They can scroll through and see all of them if they want to. And I also say that then I encourage people to go over to iTunes to get their free subscription. So I'm presenting that in a way to them to show them the benefits to them, the exposure, you know, internationally, globally with everything, and to give them an idea of some of the people that I've already been talking to. And you're completely right. People that have been doing business for a while who are just kind of on a very different level, they're not open to being an experiment for you to practice
right.
on. Yeah, that doesn't feel right for them. So that's really, you know, a different way of thinking about everything. Well, you know, Kelly, do you ever repackage any of the, or repurpose any of the podcasts? Like, I know this year your book came out, and tell us the name.
Solopreneurs Are Smarter.
Solopreneurs Are Smarter. I love it very, very much. Congratulations on that. And I was wondering, you know, have you repurposed anything like into that book, or any way that you want to share with us?
The book is original. All the content that's in the book is not present elsewhere. But I have. I do transcribe select interviews and make them available to my list members, at, you know, as a perk for subscribing to my list. Just yesterday, I took one of the transcripts and put it up on SlideShare. So I was just playing around over there. And I did also, I responded to one of Ellen Britt's posts, one of her ideas about converting blog posts to slideshows on SlideShare. And I took one of my podcast episode show notes, converted it to a slideshow, and put it up there. But it's too soon to know whether it'll do anything, you know, fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about SlideShare. I started an account there. I put something up there, but, you know, if I don't know what to do next, then usually I just leave what I have up there and don't go forward.
Right.
And that's kind of the way with that one. But, you know, tell people what SlideShare, what it's for, and how you've used it now.
Well, SlideShare.net is a social site where you can share slideshows and PDFs and at a pro paid level videos and such. I've only really just been introduced to it, but I created an account there, never uploaded anything. Like almost like earlier this year, really early this year, I must have done what you did. I took a look, didn't know what to do, left. 40 people followed my account, and I'm assuming that they're using some kind of a friend finding tool, but I'm like, if 40 people followed an empty account, what might happen if there's actually something there? So I did. I've uploaded a couple of things, and like you said, it's just yesterday. So it's too new to be able to say. You know, everyone tells you to be everywhere you possibly can. So, you know, there are a lot of users. It has very high Google green bar page rank, so I think it's worth exploring.
Definitely, because I'll tell you, you know, why I'm really so interested in it now is that just in the past month, I want to say, when I've done searches for various things, somebody's SlideShare shows up, and I wasn't used to that in the past. So I think they really are gaining traction, and it is valuable for everybody to sign up for their free account and get that started. So that's quite amazing that we can do that. Have you repurposed anything else? Like you see the way I do it? I turn them into a blog post.
Yeah.
Now you're not doing
it
that way though.
They technically are a blog post. I mean, there's show notes written to go with each episode, and they're
right, yeah.
on the blog. But I do. I have considered doing what our friend Nicole Dean does. She transcribes them and puts them on Kindle for 99 cents.
Yes.
I'm not 100% sure about doing that because every audio minute costs me $1 to transcribe, and so there's investment to be made to have all of that transcribed. That's why I only transcribe select things that I really know that I'm going to take and reuse. But I right now, I'm without technically repurposing, I'm using the stink out of my podcast because right now I'm doing a stretch yourself challenge. It's going to start next week. And the last two podcasts and my breakthrough audio, all three of them are on the blog. And so I've been promoting them everywhere. My affiliates, I've given my affiliates special links to link to them. So without technically repurposing, they're being used for a variety of purposes. And the traffic has been pretty exciting this week.
Yes.
Since a couple of affiliates started promoting, specifically linking to the podcast episodes that specifically promote the product, there's lots and lots of traffic coming through that. So
yes,
it's
and that
just
was,
like every...
you know, no, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's just like everything else. If you're going to go through the work to create something fantastic, you've got to be willing to follow through with lots and lots of promotion.
Yes, and I know that I add it to my autoresponders and mention it, you know, just any time that I possibly can. And, you know, just yesterday I was interviewed on a webinar where we, you know, did a presentation on affiliate marketing. And one of the questions was, well, what about traffic? And I brought up, you know, the podcast. I said, that's been an excellent way for me to find new people in a similar way that Amazon has been, where we're just reaching out to a whole new audience of people.
Yep.
So for 2013, I've decided I'm only going to do two interviews a month, so I'm doing half as many, but I'm also bringing in another call that I do. I have a call where it's called Ask Connie Anything, and I'm going to be turning that into a second podcast. What are your thoughts on that? Do I need to be careful of doing two different podcasts, or what do you think?
Are you going to bring them together into the same feed, or are you starting a separate feed for Ask Connie Anything?
It's going to be a separate feed.
I think that that's smart. I think that your listeners get confused when different things start appearing in their feed. I think it's great. I think that it's manageable, especially if you're going to roll back a little bit on your interviews and then promote that. I think it's great.
All right. I just wanted
to get
so
many
advice.
There's so many different ways to podcast, and, you know, different people are going to respond really well to different formats, so it's good to do that.
Okay, fantastic. Because I have so many people that really do want to listen to the information. They're very, very busy professionals. They're on the move all the time, and for them to be kind of tethered to their computer is how I describe it when you have to sit and listen to webinars. That just isn't so appealing to so many people that are in my target audience anyway. And I like the idea of the podcast because you really can take it to go. And that
yeah.
works extremely, extremely well. All right.
It's
well,
definitely.
In your course, you go into the nuts and bolts because that seems to be always what people want to know. Well, how do you do this? How do you do that? They're worried about the technology. And I wasn't worried so much because I knew that you would simplify everything so that we could understand. So I think, you know, that's part of the course is the nuts and bolts of how do you actually set it up, and then on to the marketing and the benefits of doing it. And again, I want people to go to connieloves.me/smartpodcasting, and that way you can sign up for Kelly's course and perhaps even take advantage of some of her one-on-one coaching that can be extremely, extremely life-changing. So that's what you want to do. So do you have any last words of wisdom for someone that's just getting started and they're not sure if this is right for them? They're trying to make that decision. What do they need to know?
That every Christmas, every birthday, Mother's Day, Father's Day, millions of new MP3 players get into hands. And they plug let's use iPhones and iPods, for example. They plug it into their computer, they open up iTunes, and they look for something to listen to. If you're not there, I'm sorry. You need to be there. You know, it's a search engine. You know, it's just like being found in Google. People want to find you in iTunes. So maybe you don't want to make a permanent lifelong commitment to podcasting. Maybe you want to commit to a season or a year or a specific number like Connie did. Just set the goal, learn how to do it, and make it happen.
It's so funny that you would say that, Kelly, because I've been in that position, and I've had friends and family members in that position where they get the new, whatever it is, iPod, some type of MP3 player, and then they say, well, this is wonderful. What should I listen to? You're so, mm-hmm. so right. I love that you're bringing that up at the end of our call, because that is important. Because, you know, if we're not there to offer our knowledge and expertise and information and tips and content and everything that you want to consider that we offer in these calls, encouragement, motivation, inspiration, everything, if we're not here to do that, you know, will they find someone else? Will anyone else be able to reach out to them in the way that we would be able to? And I don't like to think about that. I want to be the one to reach out to the person in that way. And I know that everybody listening has something to offer that's so, so unique that no one else has that available. But isn't that something? All right. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today, Kelly. I'm so thrilled that you were available to do this 50th one. I had talked to you earlier in January, I believe, so it's been more than 10 months. And now here you are to celebrate this milestone with me. So thanks again for being my guest.
You're welcome. I love being here.
All right. This is Connie Reagan Green from Huge Profits, TinyList.com. Be sure to go to ConnieReaganGreenPodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes to the entire series.